Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace.
We are supposed to be able to see things with our heart that you can't see with your eyes. You're supposed to be able to grasp and say, it's mine. I've got it.
And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Thursday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. I'm nearing the end of my second week of teaching on the power of imagination. This is a brand new book that I have out, and I tell you, this has been powerful. It has really stirred me up again just to be going back through this. And so I've already covered a number of things. I've talked about that your imagination is where you conceive everything. And I get that from the Hebrew word Y-E-T-S-E-R that was actually translated imagination a number of times in the Old Testament, and that word literally means conception. It was also translated mind in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, where it says, the Lord will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon him because he trusteth in him. It was also translated frame in Psalms 103, verse 14. I've already dealt with all of those things, but your imagination is your spiritual womb. That is a huge statement right there. And I've already dealt with this a number of days, but in the same way that you can't have a child without conceiving a child, you don't just pray for a child, the stork doesn't bring a child, you have to conceive it. Likewise, you need to conceive your miracle, and it takes place in your imagination. So in Psalms chapter 1, verse 2, the same Hebrew word that was translated meditate was translated imagine in Psalms chapter 2, verse 1. And so from that, I was teaching that the way you meditate on the Word of God is to take the truths that you read in the Bible, and then you have to engage your imagination and you have to see those things coming to pass. And this is why so many people don't get much out of the Bible, is because they read it kind of like, a textbook or something, where they're just trying to memorize facts, but they don't take those words and let them paint pictures on the inside. Now, that is huge. Those two things that I've already dealt with, your imagination is your spiritual womb, it's where conception takes place, and your imagination is how you meditate in the Word of God. Those two things are huge, and I cover them in a lot more detail in the book and in the CDs and DVDs that we're offering, and so I encourage you to please get them. What I want to begin to deal with today is to talk about how that your imagination is how you connect with the invisible world. There is an invisible world, and it's amazing how that most people don't believe this. And for the same reason that many people reject imagination because they equate it with fantasy, there's a lot of people that don't believe that there is anything that exists beyond what you can see, taste, hear, smell, and feel. And they think that somehow or another they are mature and they're dealing in reality when they just refuse to believe that there's anything going on that you can't see. But that is not what the Word of God teaches. I've already used Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So there is evidence of things not seen. It didn't say evidence of things that don't exist. They do exist. They just exist in an unseen world. God is unseen. Now, He has manifested Himself, but it says in John chapter 4, verse 24, that God is a spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. God has taken physical form. He has manifested Himself like to Moses in Exodus chapter 33, chapter 34. And there are things like that, but God Himself is a spirit being. Angels are spirit beings, and they can manifest in physical form. It says in Hebrews chapter 13 that many have entertained angels unaware. So I'm not saying that they cannot come over into the physical realm, but there is an entire spiritual world that exists, and one of the ways you connect with it is through your imagination, not through fantasy. Fantasy is where you just choose to think whatever you want to. or not through New Age where you just sit in a lotus position and make some noise or something and just open up your mind to the universe. You can contact demonic stuff through that. But when you take the Word of God and you meditate on it, you begin to use your imagination, you can begin to see and perceive into the spiritual world. Let me use some scriptures on this. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, this is the Apostle Paul speaking, and if you took it all in context, I'm not going to take time to read all of this, but if you took it in context, he talked about how all of the things that he was suffering and the things that he was going through. And then he said this in verse 17, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal," or temporary, "but the things which are not seen are eternal." Now, this makes it very clear. He says we are looking at things that can't be seen. Now, if they can't be seen, then how can you look at them? You look at them with your heart, in your mind's eyes. You get what the Bible says. For instance, in the next few verses, down in chapter 5, remember that men are the ones that put the chapter and verse divisions in here, and there's nothing wrong with that. That helps us find things quickly. But it's not a separate thought. It's not like he's closed, you know, the fourth chapter and went into the fifth chapter and he's now on a new subject. No, he's illustrating what he was talking about. In verse 18, he was talking about looking at things that can't be seen. And then in chapter 5, he starts talking about that if this physical body was to die, and he uses the terminology, our tabernacle, but it's talking about your physical body. If your physical body was to die, that we have a glorified body waiting on us that is from heaven. Now, that is not something that you can see. You can't see that with your physical eyes. There's people that are always trying to prove that the Bible is true in some physical, tangible way. Now, there's a lot of evidence. I've got some teaching out that shows how many manuscripts of the Bible and the confirmation of prophecy and on and on. I'm not saying that there is no proof, but I'm saying that ultimately you have to receive the Word of God by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. It also says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2, that the word preached unto them did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. You are not going to get the Word of God proven to you in just some physical, tangible way. And what he's saying here is that we have a body, a physical body, that we can see, that we can touch, that we can feel, but the Word teaches that we also have a glorified body that is waiting for us. We are going to be resurrected with a glorified body, but you can't prove that. People are always trying to somehow or another prove this. I've actually read things where they took a person who was dying and they weighed them. They were on some kind of a scale. And when they died, all of a sudden there was a lessening of the weight, and they say that that was the spirit and the soul leaving the body. But you know, that's debatable. You could say that that's when the person quits breathing in, that that's the difference in the way. They're always trying to physically somehow or another prove it. You can't necessarily prove this. You can't see the spirit and the soul when they leave a person's body. But according to the Word of God, what Paul is saying right here, he's illustrating how that you look at things that you can't be seen. Here is something that you can't see, but you can believe, and that is that you have a body that is going to be resurrected. You are going to have a glorified body. And it says in verse 5, this is 2 Corinthians 5, 5, "Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who hath also given unto us the earnest of the Spirit." The word earnest means a down payment. The Holy Spirit in your life is a confirmation, a proof, a guarantee to those who receive Him that these other things that we can't see are true. And then he says in verse 6, "Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." So all of these verses, again, are just amplifying on 2 Corinthians 4:18, where it says, we are looking at things that can't be seen. And then he uses this fact that we believe that we are going to have our body resurrected, we're going to have a glorified body, and that's walking by faith and not by sight. And we are confident that to be absent from this body, when we lay down this body, when we die and go to be with the Lord, that we are instantly into the presence of the Lord. So anyway, I'm using this as an illustration to say that you can't see these things with just your physical eyes. You can't feel these things with your hand, with your touch, with your senses. You have to use your imagination, a Holy Ghost-inspired imagination, not fantasy, and just come up with whatever. But you have to take the Word of God and let it paint a picture on the inside of you. Now, I could stop right here, and we could just focus on this one thing about resurrection. And I could take scriptures from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 2 Thessalonians chapter 4, these scriptures right here, and there's other places in the Word, and I could just go through and teach what the Word of God says about how we are going to be resurrected, that this life, when you end, is not all that there is to it, that there is a life after this. We are either going to heaven or to hell based on our acceptance or rejection of Jesus. And I could take the Word of God and I could teach on this for days, maybe weeks. And through that, if you would take those scriptures, you could use your imagination to see what is going to be on the other side. Now, we don't have a clear picture of it because the Lord hadn't totally revealed everything, but there's enough information in the Word of God to make it very clear that there is a spiritual world, there is a spiritual existence after you get out of this physical world. I could also take scriptures about angels, and I could show you where angels appeared unto Manoah, Gideon's parents, to where angels appeared unto Abraham. And I could go through many examples in Scripture and over in Hebrews chapter 13 where it says, many have entertained angels unaware. And I could go through and show you all of these Scriptures. And from that, you could begin to start painting a picture in your imagination. And that's how you see things that can't be seen. You know, if you are wanting to look, if you are looking at this table, it's easy. You don't have to imagine this. You can see it. But if there are things in the invisible world, the way that you make those things become real to you is to let the Word of God paint a picture. That is your imagination. And there is a spiritual world that exists. You know, right now, wherever you are, I would suspect that the vast majority of you are at home watching this on your television set. Some of you might be on your computer and watching it through our website or on YouTube or, you know, on and on you could go. And so today we have many different ways. But if you were sitting in your home, you may look around and you may not see anything. You might have a dog or a cat or you might have another person there, something that you can see. But I can guarantee you there are angels and there are demons. Now, that upsets some people, and some people say, oh, no, there's no demons. We've pled the blood all over our house, and no demons can get in here. Did you know at the Last Supper, as Jesus was taking the last communion with His disciples, and they were sitting there, it says Satan entered in to Judas, and then the Lord told him, that which you do, do quickly. If Jesus couldn't keep the devil out of His Last Supper with His disciples, then I think that you are deceived to think that somehow or another you can keep the devil out. No, Satan is present. There are demons that are present, but you don't have to worry about it because he can't do anything without your consent and cooperation. So I'm not saying this to instill fear in people, but I'm saying that there is a spiritual world and there are angels and there are demons that exist, there are things that are going on in the spiritual world. Now, I don't believe that we need to just become weird where we walk around and see a demon on every doorknob and things, but you do need to be aware of the spiritual world. And again, I go back to this verse where the Apostle Paul said that he just had a light affliction. And this wasn't because he didn't have as many problems as you and I have. You could turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I'm not going to do that right now. But he lists there some of his light afflictions. And that was being stoned and left for dead. That was being beaten with whips. That was being beaten with rods. That was being imprisoned. That was being shipwrecked. That was being a night and a day in the deep. And on it goes. Paul was persecuted, and he suffered more problems than you and I do. And yet he said it's just a light affliction. Now, how could he say that? Because he wasn't just looking in the physical world. He was looking at things that could not be seen. Specifically, if you stop and think about it this way, you know, even if you suffered for 20, 30, 40, 50 years down here on earth, and if just things went wrong with you, did you know that 50 years, 70 years here on earth is going to be like the snap of a finger compared to eternity? We are going to live forever in eternity, forever and ever. And in eternity, John chapter 14 talks about there, Jesus is preparing a mansion for us. Over in the book of Revelation, it says that the streets are paved with pure gold, that the gates are made out of one huge pearl, that the foundation is these precious stones, diamond and beryl and onyx and all of these things. It's going to be a blast. There is going to be no need for light, is what Revelation says, because the Lord is the light of the city. There won't be any evil there. All sorrow will pass away. See, what I'm doing is taking all of the things that are said about eternity, about heaven, and I'm using those words to paint a picture. Now, if you thought about that and thought that someday you are going to live in absolute perfection with no devil, no demons, no problems, no sickness, no more sorrow, no more pain, and if you thought that that is going to last for eternity, and if you were to take your problems that you're suffering right now and put that up against eternity, it would shrink your problems down to where, just like the Apostle Paul, you'd say, it's just a light affliction. This is only going to last for 20, 30, 40 years maximum or something. I'm going to spend eternity in heaven. See, if people would think like that, it would just change everything. Not only about the positive side, but when you see people that are evil and that are prospering and it looks like they're winning, they've got the money, they've got the fame, they're the ones that are being interviewed, they're on television, they're the ones that are getting all the magazine covers, and sometimes it just looks like that the people who aren't serving God are doing better than the people who are serving God. Now, that is very short-sighted when you see that, because you may see them for a moment like a flash of light. They may prosper for a brief period of time. But when you look at things in light of eternity, they are going to not live forever. Someday they're going to stand before God, and if they did not make God their Lord, if they did not yield to Him, they are going to be confined to hell. They are going to be punished forever and ever, and we that have accepted the Lord are going to shine like the sun, is what the Scripture says. See, if you got to thinking that way, it would not only encourage you about your future, but when you see other people supposedly prospering, you would know that it's just short-lived. You would know that someday they're going to stand before the Lord and every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess that Jesus is Lord. And there isn't going to be any of this arrogance. There isn't going to be these people that are atheists and that are, you know, just defying God and blaspheming God and all of the things that we see. Someday it's all going to change. So if you were to look at things that can't be seen, if you were to look at eternity, if you were to look at what the Word says about your future and about the future of those that don't know God, did you know what? It would change everything that you do see. And like the Apostle Paul, you'd say, it's just a light affliction. Being afflicted, being shipwrecked, being imprisoned for years at a time, being stoned and left for dead, being hated of all men and on, it's just a light affliction because, man, someday we are going to be so compensated that compared to the compensation, the reward that God is going to give us, anything we're suffering down here is nothing to be compared. Again, there's Scriptures that says that the former things won't even come to mind, that the things, you know, are not even worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And you take all of these things and it just changes the way you see things. So what I'm saying through all of this is that you need to see with your heart, which is your imagination, just as well as you see with your physical eyes. And yet, sad to say, the average Christian, let me even rephrase that, the majority of Christians, the vast majority of Christians, do not use their imagination to see what God says coming to pass. They are just locked in to only what they can see with their eyes, only what they can hear with their ears, only what they can feel and touch. That's the only reality that exists to most people. And because of that, man, they are just not playing with a full deck. This is not the way that God made us to be. I believe that God made us not with just five senses, but with six senses. That sixth sense is, you could say, faith, but as I'm going to teach, I'm not quite there yet, but next week I'll be getting into this. Faith is activated by your conscience, by your imagination. Faith only brings into reality what your imagination has already seen. Now, that's a huge statement, and I know that some of you may think, well, boy, I don't agree with that. I'm going to be teaching on that out of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, next week and showing you these things. But you have the ability to see things with your heart that you can't see with your mind, and that's your imagination. Your imagination is where you conceive things. Your imagination is how you meditate and take just words on a page and make them come alive. And your imagination provides you with evidence. You see things that are real. They're in the spiritual realm, and you see them, and that becomes real to you, as real as anything that you can see, taste, hear, smell, or feel. I tell you, this is powerful. What I'm doing is just basically explaining the way that God made us to be. And I know that there has been a lot of criticism. There's a lot of people think that I'm talking about just imagining whatever you want. No, this needs to be a Holy Ghost inspired. You need to take the Word of God, and your imagination needs to be confined to what the Word of God says and promises about the unseen realm. But nonetheless, there is an unseen realm, and you have to be able to see it, and you see these things in your heart. Man, I've got a lot more to share about this. I've got this book entitled The Power of Imagination. The subtitle is Unlocking Your Ability to Receive from God. If you can understand the things that we're talking about, I tell you, this will revolutionize your relationship with the Lord and your ability to receive. I also have CDs, DVDs. I have DVDs that were taken live. I have some that were taken from television. It'll be a blessing to you. Listen to our announcer as he gives you all this information about how you can receive the product. And I encourage you to please call or write today and receive this teaching. And then join me again tomorrow as I continue the gospel truth.
We hope you enjoyed this edition of The Gospel Truth. Andrew would like to extend a special thank you to the grace partners of Andrew Womack Ministries. Your gifts make it possible for us to broadcast the message of God's unconditional love and grace all around the world. Because of your contributions, we've been able to put free ministry resources into the hands of millions in need. If you're not already a grace partner, we ask you to pray about becoming one today. Learn how to put your imagination to work for you when you get Andrew's brand new book titled, The Power of Imagination. This book is available for a gift of any amount when you contact us. This new series on the power of imagination is also available as a CD or DVD album recorded live from a Gospel Truth seminar or in a DVD album made from our daily television broadcast. Each are available for a gift of any amount when you contact us.
I'd really like to encourage you to get these products. This is my brand new book on the power of imagination. And I tell you, I've mentioned this in a number of different teachings, but this is the first time I've just taught specifically on imagination. This is a deal changer. It's a game changer. and it would really bless you. We also have DVDs. This was taken from a live session. And then I have DVDs that were taken from our television program. And then we have CDs that were taken from one of my meetings. So we've got a number of different ways of you taking advantage of this. But I promise you, this teaching is something that not very many, I've never heard anybody else teach on this. And I believe it would really change your life. It has totally revolutionized my life. So please listen to our announcer and call and receive these materials.
These valuable resources are also available in the Power of Imagination package. This package includes Andrew's brand new book, as well as your choice of the CD or the As Seen on TV DVD album. The Power of Imagination package has a catalog value of $50, but you can get it today for a gift of only $35. Go to awmi.net to see all the ways you can get this teaching. The individual topic highlighted on today's broadcast is available as an audio CD for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give because there's a blessing in giving. But if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide today's teaching free of charge. You can order resources or become a Grace Partner through our website at awmi.net. While there, you can discover more product details and download additional free resources. Or call our helpline Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time at 719-635-1111. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
Before you were even formed in your mother's womb, God already had determined a purpose for your life, a God-given purpose.
God has a purpose to train you in what you're called to do, and I tell you, Charis Bible College is the place for that.
Man, if you want a life change, come to Charis.
Come on to Charis!
You need to take a step of faith and start believing God for something big. God made every one of you for something special.
The next 2 to 3 years could be the most powerful time of your life.
If you sit under the Word for 4 hours a day, for 5 days a week, for 2 or 3 years, I guarantee you, you are going to have God speak to you and start revealing purpose to you.
We all have a purpose and a destiny, and you will find that out when you attend Charis Bible College.
Every one of you were created for a purpose. Do you know what that purpose is?
I believe Esther is the true original Cinderella story. Not only did she conquer the heart of the king, but she saved her people from annihilation. Esther's secret weapon was not her beauty, but her heart.